In February 2020, EFCA pastors and church leaders gathered at Trinity International University, Deerfield, Illinois, for the annual theology conference. The focus was on the theme, Contending for the Faith, Seven Critical Contemporary Doctrinal Challenges, a Biblical, Theological, and Pastoral Response. On this episode of the podcast, we share Greg Strand's introduction to the conference. Greg serves as the Executive Director of Theology and Credentialing in the EFCA.
When the EFCA conference adopted the 2000 Statement of Faith, the EFCA Board of Directors affirmed a process for safeguarding our spiritual heritage. One aspect of this process was to receive an annual update, a theology update. So the Board of Directors every year receives a theology update. Another aspect was to conduct a doctrinal survey every 5 years. Our second doctrinal survey was conducted at the end of 2018 with an assessment and evaluation completed in 2019. The survey was conducted for informational purposes to discern a doctrinal pulse from a select group of people in the EFCA, senior pastors, all senior pastors in all of our churches, and all those credentialed, we'd mentioned that earlier, all those credentialed in the EFCA. Those most often responsible for biblical and doctrinal teaching in the local church and in the EFCA. The 49-question survey was sent to 3,000 individuals with 1,509 responding, which represents 50.3%. If you've done any statistical work, it's high. It's an excellent response rate. Especially remembering this is a 49-question survey that took 20 to 30 minutes to complete. How many took it? Yeah. In addition to completing the survey, 8,341, if anyone's counting, comments were made by respondents. We read them. Through the doctrinal survey, we seek to determine how strongly our statement of faith is affirmed. Additionally, we are also interested to learn where there are doctrinal weaknesses or theological aberrations, how many doctrinal outliers there are, and on what articles and what doctrines. This enables us to discern what issues need to be addressed and where instruction is needed, what biblical and theological issues and trends are affecting us, with possible trajectories, and what resources we should provide to retain our biblical and theological convictions and commitments to doctrinal fidelity and faithfulness. This gets to some degree what President Perrin just talked about as well, because that's where the synergy of a denomination and a seminary work hand in hand. Now, in this conference, we are addressing and following up our 2018 doctrinal survey. Now, thanks be to God, we remain strongly and thoroughly orthodox and evangelical in belief. We give thanks for that. We do not take it for granted, especially these days. And yet, there are some outliers, which is not completely surprising either, even though it is somewhat distressing. Our strong sense is that now is a time to address some of these issues with some outlier responses so that there is no incremental creep or compromise against these matters which are of first importance. Now, after we read through all the surveys, the over 1,500 surveys and the comments, we included this general summary. Notice, we remain strongly committed to the essential doctrinal truths espoused in our statement of faith. It remains strong because of our unwavering commitment to the inerrancy, infallibility, authority, and sufficiency of the scriptures. Second, we remain strongly committed to the outworking of the Christian faith on some of the major moral and social issues of the day. Friends, that ought to be an encouragement to you. The reason for that is because of our fidelity to the scriptures. Third, we have a few doctrinal and moral outliers. You can read about those if you read through the doctrinal survey. In addition to strong commitment to biblical and doctrinal fidelity and faithfulness, there's also a strong commitment to our ethos, that is, living with the significance of silence. The two primary issues that describe the uniqueness of the EFCA, doctrinal fidelity and the significance of silence. Fifth, through the years, we have addressed many of the doctrinal and moral issues in theology conferences and at EFCA 1. So we are listening. There remains an ongoing need to address the issues raised in the doctrinal survey, which will be somewhat accomplished through teachings, the conference, and other ways. And just remember that evangelical convictions is the theological exposition of the statement of faith that is really fundamental to articulating and understanding what the statement of faith espouses. I encourage you to read the results and the assessments and the comments of the doctrinal survey for details if you have not. Confessing the faith. With our strong commitment to biblical authority and doctrinal truth, we concluded most need to be reminded of these truths, not convinced of them. Or stated another way, these truths need to be reinforced in the lives and ministries of our pastors, ministers, and leaders in our churches. Because the survey also revealed a few doctrinal outliers among us, it was important to restate these truths to address some of the issues now to prevent biblical and theological drift in days to come. Articulating and defending the Christian faith is always contemporary and always a vital matter. You will also remember that the second to the last question, question 48, asked this question: what are two or three of the most important critical biblical and theological issues to address in the next 5 years? And there were 1,131 that commented on that. Oh, it's good. You're engaged. We're in this together, friends. I was encouraged. And some of that then builds into what we're doing here right now tonight. Well, as we think about that, it's important for us to think as well about another faith. Another faith. In the present day, there are many pressures pushing against these truths with influences from theological liberals and progressive evangelicals and sexual revolutionaries and from the culture in general. There are temptations to soften, to concede, to accommodate, to capitulate, to become relevant among others. Well, the other side of this is the progression to question, to doubt, to discredit, and to deny. We must remember what happened and happens with theological liberalism. Much could and should be said about that, since this too has been a threat to the church since Friedrich Schleiermacher of the 18th and 19th centuries, the father of modern theology. His protégés concluded that, and here's sort of an essence of theological liberalism, contemporary discoveries must be assimilated into the Christian faith. The autonomous individual criticizes and reconstructs Christian belief, thus rejecting authority and tradition. The practical or the ethical dimensions of Christianity are emphasized. Theology was based on something other than the absolute authority of the Bible. And they emphasized God's immanence, his nearness, at the expense of his transcendence. The essence of liberal theology is anthropocentric, that is human-centered, not theocentric, God-centered. You know, J. Gresham Machen's response of a century ago in his book Christianity and Liberalism remains accurate today. Even though liberalism used the same language, the book was written in 1923, and even though liberalism used the same language of the Christian faith, he concludes, it wasn't Christianity. Some of us remember the emergent church. This is where most proponents of this movement in the 90s and the 2000s have ended. Liberal theology and theological liberalism lives on. One of the ways it lives on today is in what I refer to as progressive evangelicalism. Proponents have affirmed to be an evangelical in name, though that's being questioned now too, and that's even being questioned by evangelicals. So that's not what I'm saying. It's not just the name or the title. There are other reasons for it. So they may affirm evangelical in name, though it is clear they are not evangelical in belief or theology. Today it manifests in a few presuppositions. That is, when this person comes to the Bible, these are some things with which this person comes to the Bible. So the reader of the Bible brings to the text of Scripture these notions. Now, we all have them, right? We all have them. That's not the issue. But are they warranted presuppositions that you come to the text? So what are some of those presuppositions with which one approaches the scriptures and by which the Bible is read and interpreted and which has resulted, I think, in huge hermeneutical and moral issues in the church today? Here they are: an epistemology of experience, and that experience of individual expressivism and immediatism, it trumps any and everything else. Secondly, a hermeneutic of suspicion. That is, there's incredulity towards a meaning or a deep set skepticisms concerning the possibility of correct interpretation. The author can't mean that, right? So it builds. So if you come with this experience that is fundamental, and then you have this suspicion that the text can't mean that, so now all of a sudden you need to reinterpret, right? You need to reinterpret to make it make sense today. And then finally, there's an ethics of empathy and justice. That is, they are a people today that are more compassionate than God. This has profound implications for much of the Christian faith. You know, one has described how doctrine slides into theological liberalism. And this person describes it in this way. And friends, I would ask you this. Are there things that you teach and you preach and then duck? Or want to avoid? Or speak it and then make a bunch of caveats or concessions? One of the things you ought to do is about every month, as you're preaching expositorily, grab a systematic theology textbook, open it up, look at the table of contents or subject index or whatever, and ask yourself, what have I not preached on or illustrated in my expository preaching in the last month? What are God's people not hearing that I need to include so that we give them the full counsel of God without ducking? And here's what happens. First, a doctrine simply falls from mention. Secondly, a doctrine is revised and retained in reduced form. Third, a doctrine is subjected to a form of ridicule. And fourth, a doctrine is reformulated in order to remove its intellectual and moral offensiveness. So rather than another faith, we need to contend for the faith, to contend for the faith. So we are in this day contending for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints, and thus the title of our conference, Contending for the Faith, Seven Critical Contemporary Doctrinal Challenges, a Biblical, Theological, and Pastoral Response. It's almost a Puritan title, but not quite. Our conference theme is guided by the words written by Jude in the first century. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, Jude was eager to discuss the joys and the glories of salvation, that which they shared because of the work of Christ and the application of that work by the Holy Spirit. And yet, even though that is always right and appropriate and timely to discuss the blessings we receive and experience in our salvation in Christ, there are times when other pressing issues must be addressed which actually affect or undermine the truth and the reality of salvation and all that entails. This is a historical context in which Jude lives and writes, and we also believe today is that day for us. In addition to being exhorted to contend for the faith, believers are also to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Jude verse 20. As pastors, ministers, and leaders, we are entrusted with the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. This truth is the gospel with which we have been entrusted. Friends, that's the theme of Trinity International University, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It is not ours to create or change. It is received and believed and affirmed and passed on. We also build ourselves up in your most holy faith. Friends, while we engage in contending for and building up in the faith, we also extend mercy to those who doubt, Jude 22. Who doubt the truth. And we save others by snatching them out of the fire, verse 23a. And I think of James chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So regarding our speakers and topics, friends, not only is this conference a follow-up to our doctrinal survey, it is also a time to contend for the faith, to be built up in the faith, and to be reminded of the importance of snatching from the fire those who doubt, which is to be grounded in grace and truth and a manifestation of mercy. We are grateful. I am elated to be able to gather with other EFCA pastors and ministers and leaders, and we are eager to learn from our excellent and eminently capable speakers, those with whom we will contend for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. Now, as we consider the titles, it is important we not only consider the title, which is somewhat general, but the subtitle, as it becomes more specific and which focuses on a particular issue for which we must contend. And friends, these messages, I'm just going to give you the titles, and that's what we're going to focus on the next two days. They follow our statement of faith. They follow the articles in our statement of faith. We must remember that biblical truth and doctrine are organic. Each is connected, and all are part of the whole of God's truth. The doctrine of God, the Trinity, and classical theism with Dr. Fred Sanders. The doctrine of the Scriptures, authority, clarity, and sufficiency with Dr. Graham Cole. The doctrine of humanity, imago Dei, embodiment, identity, and human sexuality, Dr. Greg Allison. The doctrine of salvation, penal substitution, the heart of the atonement, Dr. Steve Wellum. The doctrine of the church, the people of God, public theology, and politics, Dr. Jonathan Lehman and Reverend Thabit Dienyabwal. The doctrine of Christ, the exclusivity and necessity of Jesus Christ, Dr. Harold Netland. And the doctrine of hell, eternal conscious punishment, with Dr. D.A. Carson. Friends, we give thanks to the Lord that the EFCA remains strongly committed to biblical truth and doctrinal fidelity. We are thankful you are here to learn and grow together. Friends, I'm not sure that there's another theology conference that betters what the Lord has brought together here. We pray we will be built up in the faith so that we are enabled and equipped to contend for the faith. And we will be emboldened to speak and live this faith once for all entrusted to the saints. And by this means, fellow shepherd, help those who doubt and save others out of the fire.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the EFCA Theology Podcast. You can find more episodes by searching EFCA Theology Podcast in any podcast app or on the web at efca.org/podcast.